Hey, we got a special treat for you, everyone, today. So today we have Kevin Clark here with us from the Gideons. Gideons, my wife and I, Julie, used to belong to the Gideons a long time ago when we were in New Jersey. It's a powerful ministry that hands the word of God to people. And you would, and listening, I'm not going to take any of Kevin's thunder like I did in Bible study today, but really, what a great ministry, and Kevin's going to come, and we're really special for us to have him here today. I'm going to give you his bio, a little bit about who Kevin is. In 2006, Kevin retired from the United States Army after serving over 20 years in a variety of law enforcement positions. So that means Kevin could come right here and fit right in our security and safety group. I'm not just saying, Kevin, you don't want to put any pressure on you, including providing personal protection to pretty high dignitaries like the Secretary of Defense and others. After 2.5 years at the Department of Commerce, Kevin went to the Department of Agriculture, where he provided personnel protection for the Secretary of Agriculture for 9 years. Kevin then transitioned to physical security, ensuring that nearly 3,000 USDA service centers nationwide were secure and safe for the USDA employees. On the 24th of July, Kevin retired from USDA, and in December of 2024, was asked to come back in a temporary part-time role where he continues today. Kevin attended Liberty University Online, where in 2012, he received his Bachelor's of Science in Interdisciplinary Studies and a Master's of Arts in Management and Leadership in 2013. In May of 2023, Kevin attended his first Bible Prophecy Conference, came home and put together his own presentation, unsure what it was for. In February of 2024, Kevin provided an update presentation to a men's Bible study group where the Lord really began to show Kevin what it was for. That presentation led to several more. In August of 2024, Kevin started a family and friends Zoom meeting where he discussed current events through a biblical lens. In 2023, the Lord began to put a prison ministry burden on Kevin's heart. And he was seeking a way to serve. That desire led him to join the Gideons in February of 2024, and he is looking forward to many Gideon events throughout 2025. Excited to watch what the Lord is going to do. He attends Calvary Chapel in Fredericksburg and resides in Stafford with his wife, Donna. Kevin, I'd ask you to come on up here.
Hebrews 4:12 tells us, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, pierced to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, of discerning thoughts and intentions of the heart." That video is powerful because it features the most powerful book in the world. And I'm here today to testify to you how this book is working and has been working, and I have witnessed it working in the last year. Thank you for the introduction, John. Thank you, church, for allowing us to be here. I am pleased to be here with the Gideons. I have Jim Hall, who happens to be the president of Virginia State Gideons, here with me. He goes to my church. He recruited me in. He's become a great friend and mentor. So thank you for being here, Jim, and thank you for praying for me. I'm absolutely certain I would not go to heaven if I were to die today. That was Serena's response to me. And my question is, how sure would you are of going to heaven if you died today? At the Stafford Christmas tree lighting, I walked around offering testaments. This was out of my comfort zone, and it was my first open-air witnessing experience. Despite the cold and my nervousness, I felt God wanted me out there for someone, and that someone turned out to be a married couple, Serena and Aiden. After Serena's response to my question, I asked if I could share with them how to be 100% certain of going to heaven. They said yes, and after sharing the gospel with them right from this small, powerful book, I had the absolute pleasure of praying with Aiden and Serena as they asked forgiveness of their sins, and they surrendered their lives to Christ. The Gideons is an association of business and professional men and their wives who have a passion for sharing the gospel with the lost and giving out testaments. We could not do this without your support. We are grateful for it, and your support allows us to act as an extension of your church, giving you dedicated missionaries in 200 countries around the world. Mohan Van Sandini was born and raised a Hindu in Jakarta, Indonesia, where he believed in 300 million gods. He was a regional sales manager and was visiting one of his best sales customers. and he was told he needed to know Jesus and there was only one God. Well, Mohan got a little bit upset about this, and he decided to go back to his hotel. When he walked into his hotel room, guess what was sitting on his nightstand? Mohan came to know Jesus through that Gideon Bible in his hotel room and has been a Gideon for over 30 years now. I've been a Gideon for about 14 months and active only for the last 9 months. I'm amazed at how God has allowed me to watch him work and realize God can use anyone, including and especially me. A few short years ago, this would not have been me. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm too tired. I don't have enough time. I don't know what to do. Those would have just been a few excuses that I used. But I'm grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he regarded me faithful, putting me into service. Paul wrote that in his first epistle to Timothy, and it expresses my feelings far better than I ever could. I still don't feel qualified to stand up here. And a couple years ago, I would have said, I can't do it. Satan used my sin and shame to stifle my effectiveness in spreading God's word. I struggled for years with feelings that God couldn't use me, he wouldn't use me, I wasn't good enough. I would get excited after church, but would soon give in to the belief that he can't use me. We tend to forget that in Romans, Scripture tells us none is righteous, no, not one, and for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners, and all of us by God's standards. No one is good enough to be up here unless they've been saved and received that salvation of forgiveness through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I was encouraged at our state convention in March when Mike shared his testimony. He told about how in 1970 he was sitting on a curb outside a Red Roof Inn. He was waiting for that red light to come on across the street. As he watched a businessman come out of one of the hotel rooms, he quickly got up and ran and got the door and pushed his way in. He wanted to see if the businessman had left anything in the room. He searched the room. He found a Bible in the drawer, tossed it back in the drawer, and then peeked out the curtains to see if that red light had come on across the street. Still not on, he closed the curtains. He sat down on the bed. He pulled the Bible out, and he began to read in Isaiah. And as he was reading, the maid never bothered him. The businessman had checked out, and the maid never came in that room. Well, that day, Mike became a Christian through the Gideon Bible that was in that room. And he became a preacher. And all I can say about that day was, but God. You see, Mike was watching for that liquor store to open, not because he wanted alcohol, but because he had a shotgun with him and he intended to rob it. He said, I have no idea what I would have done if the clerk had resisted, but God. God continues to use examples like this to encourage me. When I was encouraged to become a church speaker for the Gideons, the doubts came back. Not to mention, standing in front of people is really not my thing. Yet I felt this was something God wanted me to do. And I thought maybe I could just open with those 8 words that people in church are familiar with, although they usually come at the end. You know, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'll be done in 30 minutes. But I don't think that would work here, would it? If I got up, I need to put my trust and faith in God because he directs our steps and lights our paths. If God calls you to do something, he will equip you and use you. You see, God doesn't care about our abilities. And in my case, it's a good thing. But he cares about your availability. And when you tell God you want to use him, expect the unexpected and the uncomfortable, but trust him to equip you and use you. Will you allow him to use you today? God has expanded the Gideon's ministry with access into schools, hotels, hospitals, jails, the military, and other institutions. Your prayers and financial support have allowed the Gideons to distribute more than 2.6 billion Bibles so far. Now, I got to correct the record here, and this is the first and only church I have to do it in. I was visiting here in January, and Pastor Creed asked me how many Bibles the Gideons gave out last year. I had no idea. But I was putting together a draft for my church presentation. And Gideon's International had just changed 2.5 billion Bibles distributed to 2.6. I remembered the 6. I didn't remember the 2 or the decimal point. So I mentioned here in January that we had given out 6 billion Bibles. It's only 2.6 billion. I need your help to get to the 6. (Clears throat) So God is moving in the youth today as well. At the Virginia State Fair, the Gideons handed out 9,004 testaments and saw 472 souls come to Christ. Yet while we were sharing, two youths ministered to us. One was a young 10th grade young man who walked up and said he'd been buying inexpensive Bibles and handing them out to his classmates on school property during school hours and sharing the gospel with them. Another was a 12th grade young lady who walked up with her girlfriends and said she'd accepted Christ, but she wasn't really sure of her salvation. I took her to the back of the testament to John 1:12, and I asked her, "Did you receive him?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Did you believe in his name?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Then you are a daughter of God forever." She was so excited, she later returned dragging a bunch of her male classmates and took them up to another Gideon and made them all take a testament. I later learned that she took them through the plan of salvation on her own. So we're encouraged by these folks, and we encourage them to get the life book. The life book has a complete summary of the Old Testament, and it contains the gospel of either Mark or John. And it deals with struggles of everyday teens, and it even has their handwritten notes in the margin. This is an excellent opportunity for your students to share the gospel at school. And over the last 10 years, 4 million middle and high school students have distributed more than 55 million copies of their life book. Your pastor can order these through thelifebook.com, and best of all, they're absolutely free. About 4 years ago, God got a hold of my life. I was saved, but not living for Christ. One of those that have my fire insurance, I'll do what I want, right? As I mentioned earlier, I struggled with the fears of not measuring up. Each time I tried in my own power, I failed miserably. About 4 years ago, the difference was this time I said, "God, you take control. I get really tongue-twisted. I'm not very effective, but whatever you want me to do, whatever you call me to do, I'll do." God spent many years preparing me for the Gideons, unbeknownst to me. About a year before I joined the Gideons, I was traveling for work, and I bought inexpensive Bibles. And I saw a lot of hotels that no longer had Bibles in them, so I was leaving them in the rooms I was staying in. And then I decided to try and witness and share Jesus, although my first couple attempts were crude and likely scared people. You see, I wanted something safe, something quick, something ineffective. So I'd offer homeless at the traffic lights a bottle of water. And then when they came over, I'd offer them a Bible as well. And most of them would say, "I'll just take the water." And my first few times, I said, "Take the Bible." And it was a bit harsher than I realized. But when I got home, I realized if I was trying out for a horror movie, I probably would have taken the leading role. So I needed to temper that down a little bit. But God soon put on my heart a desire to be part of a jail ministry. And this was not me. With my career, I'm usually on the other side of the bars. But I was like, "Are you sure, God? Do you really want me to do this? I know you don't make any mistakes, but I have no clue what I'm doing, and I don't know what I need to do. But I've read the book of Jonah, and I know when God calls you, it's a good idea to go." And I figured there's more than one way he could get me in a jail ministry. I preferred the option that allowed me to come home at the end of the day. So that desire is what led me to the Gideons and to Jim. I was searching for a jail ministry, and our church said, "Well, Jim's in charge of it." And I went and sought Jim out, and that is how I wound up in the Gideons. And God is working in the Rappahannock Regional Jail as well. Since last April, in 1 year, the Lord has brought over 200 inmates, guards, and staff into his hands. And he has used this book to do it. My first Gideon event in July was with a jail ministry. And I was particularly excited on November 6th to go again to the jail. I was anxious to bring souls to Christ. I soon became very discouraged, however, because the first few pods only had a few inmates in it, not many at all. And then the last pod we went into, it was full, and I wanted to make sure we got to everyone. I had a plan. However, there was a very tall, red-headed inmate directing me in completely random order to different cells and getting me very confused. And I was getting very frustrated with Big Red because I had a plan. And I wanted to make sure we weren't going to miss anyone. As we were getting ready to leave, I looked over at a table and I saw Big Red sitting there with several other inmates. I figured they'd already received a Bible, and I'd assumed Big Red was a Christian. After all, he was directing me to every single cell in completely random order to give them Bibles. Well, I walked over, and I offered them testaments. To my surprise, most of them had not had one. So I passed out testaments to them, and I shared the gospel with them. At the end, I asked them if they were ready to receive Christ. Andrew said he wasn't ready. Matthew and John and Big Red all said they were. And here's where I got to finally learn Big Red's name. I figured with after Andrew, Matthew, and John, it would be Luke or Mark, but no, his name was Dustin. So Matthew, John, and Dustin all prayed, asking Christ to come into their hearts. On March 5th, we were back in Rappahannock Regional Jail, and I had just explained the gospel to KK. She prayed, asking forgiveness for her sins, and asked Christ to come into her heart. Immediately after, her eyes welled with tears, and it happened so quick it surprised me. I didn't know if it was an allergic reaction or what, but I asked her, "Are you crying?" And she said, "Thank you so much. I really needed that," as tears were pouring down her cheeks. I realized then the Lord was allowing me to watch the Holy Spirit transform lives. But that's not all. As I was walking back to get more Bibles, Candace and Jessica stopped me, and they asked me if they could ask me another question. And I said, "Sure." Candace and Jessica asked me, they said, "Can you tell us how to ask Jesus to come into our hearts?" And I was absolutely floored. I said, "Absolutely." And after explaining to them what that meant, I led them in prayer as well to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I encouraged them to join a Bible study group, and they said they had been to one, but they had stopped going. And we had 21 inmates that day come to Christ. But it struck me with Candace and Jessica that, first of all, God had allowed me, by blessing me, to watch him work. He was calling people over. We didn't have to go. We just had to be available, and he was bringing them to us. But I thought how Candace and Jessica could have gone to the chaplain. They could have gone to another inmate. They could have asked somebody in their Bible study group to be a Christian. They could have even looked at the last page of the Gideon Bible. But they asked me, and that got me wondering. Was the person that God called to share the gospel with them not available? Did they not respond? And I thought back to all my wasted years, and I wondered how many times I tried to lead a godly life and quit after just a minute. How many times did God have to use somebody else to share the gospel with the lost because I said, "I'm not interested"? So it's a sobering thought, and it's now one of my main desires of handing out Bibles and sharing the gospel. And God has certainly shaped me to be able to hand out the Bibles like I'm not auditioning for a horror movie now. Today, many people are seeking something, but they don't realize what that is. When I share with people, I try to help them realize that we are not inherently good people. I start by asking them, how many lies have they told? We've all told lies. Nobody has to teach us that. It's not a learned behavior. It's just automatic. It's like that little boy you hear that walks in the living room with chocolate cake on his face. And his mom said, "I told you not to get in the cake." And of course, what does he do? He usually comes up with some classic response and says, I didn't. And she said, "Well, how did you get chocolate all over your face?" "Well, maybe I just tripped and fell into it." Right? I know we've all been there. I know I look like I don't like cake, but that wasn't me. But nobody has to teach us to lie. God's word says we're all sinners. The next thing I mention is stealing, another behavior that does not have to be learned. I then ask if they've taken God's name in vain. Usually they are all yes responses at this point. For us to be considered good by God's standard, we need to be 100% perfect. I look at these because these are part of the moral law. They're written on our hearts, and they're just three of the Ten Commandments. We know instinctively in our hearts when we tell a lie or when we steal that it is wrong. As Romans 6:23 says, God is paying us in death for our sins. The good news is God sent his son to pay that price. The only thing we must do is accept his free gift. It is not automatic, but God does not force it on us either. We must choose for ourselves. There is nothing we have done that cannot be forgiven, nor is it too late until we draw our last breath. I've heard the analogy used about being in court and the judge says, "You owe too many speeding fines. If you can't pay them, I'm sending you to jail." If somebody comes in and pays your fine, the judge can legally let you go. But what about the other side of that coin? What if that inmate tells the judge, "I don't want you to take Pastor Creed's money paying my fine"? What have you just forced the judge to do? He's got to sentence you. And that's the same thing with Jesus. If we fail to accept the free gift of Jesus as our Lord and Savior and sacrifice for our sins, God must punish us. At the 2024 Fredericksburg Agricultural Fair, the Gideons handed out nearly 2,300 testaments and saw 268 people give their lives to Christ. One of those was a man named Christian. He and his girlfriend Ash walked over, and he took a testament. Ash refused and soon faked the phone call and said, "We got to go." Christian gave her a look, and she immediately hid behind him. As I sensed there was spiritual warfare taking place, I was praying as I shared the gospel with Christian. When I finished, he prayed and placed his faith and trust in Christ. For some reason, I asked Christian where he worked, and he said he was a cook at the Waffle House. I told him I would come visit him, not having any idea where that came from. I didn't promise that to anybody else, but I felt overwhelmingly compelled to promise it to him. Well, the conversation seemed to relax Ash a little bit, and she soon stepped out and started talking to me. She finally accepted a testament and allowed me to pray for her. Well, she didn't accept Christ then. Her story did not end. If you see me later, I will share the story of how, almost 6 weeks later, on September 11th, in a Waffle House parking lot, Ash gave her life to Christ. These past several months, God has continued to mold me and give me a desire for those that are lost. I see evil continuing to grow in America and around the world. The signs Jesus warned us to watch for are beginning to come together in a convergence that has never happened before. This really hit me on the week of March 16th. I thought about those lost and the opportunities that we would have this week. You see, we had a lot of events scheduled, and I was anxious to see what the Lord would do. My prayer that week was, "Lord, give us one more week." In the morning of the 19th, we were at University of Mary Washington, and we were handing out testaments. We gave out 131 testaments and saw 7 students pray to receive Christ. That afternoon, we went to Rappahannock Regional Jail, and we discovered this would be a challenging afternoon. You see, Rappahannock is short-staffed, and when they're short-staffed, a lot of times they do lockdowns. And it's very difficult to talk to the inmates because it's hard to hear through those doors. So Jim and I were there along with another Gideon named Paul, and we were handing out Bibles. Despite the challenge, Paul was able to lead 5 inmates to Christ. Well, Jim and I slipped Bibles under doors, praying that God would use the Bibles because we could not get to everybody and talk with everybody in that situation. As we were leaving, I saw a staff member waiting for a guard to let her into another pod. As an afterthought, I asked her if she would like a testament. She said, "Sure." So I shared the gospel with her, and as I was getting ready to ask her if she would like to receive Christ, they were ready for her to go into the pod. And we struggle with that all the time. We're getting ready. That's a commitment that you must make any time before you die, but once you die, it's too late, right? So we want to take advantage of every opportunity, and Satan wants to disrupt that opportunity. But instead of going in, she said yes, she wanted to pray with me. So that day, Caitlin asked Christ to come into her heart and forgive her of her sins. The next day, many of us traveled to our state convention in Roanoke. That first day, that same Gideon Paul shared the gospel with Daniel. Daniel was there for doing our video conferencing and setting up the videos and running that. And he'd just come from the South Carolina Gideon State Convention about 2 weeks earlier. And he heard the gospel there and he heard testimonies there, but he didn't receive Christ. Well, Paul shared the gospel with him, and at that time he gave his life to Christ. On Friday, time had been scheduled for us to do some open-air witnessing. When we were out, Jim led a man named Butch to the Lord. I met a young lady named Rosie who was pushing her daughter. She was on her way to meet her husband. I asked her, after I shared the gospel with her, if she wanted to place her faith and trust in Christ, and she said yes. As tears streamed down her cheeks, she told me that her husband was already a believer. So obviously he was praying for her that day as well. Scott, another Gideon, and his wife Tatiana were out sharing as well. They didn't run into anyone that was unsaved, but they did run into 5 different believers who were all struggling and needed individual prayer. And Scott and Tatiana were able to pray with them specifically and encourage them. This is just a handful of people in one state in 1 week. And God provided an incredible harvest. My challenge to you is to ask God to give you one more week. Then pray for harvest and share the gospel. At the end of that week, ask yourself, what did you do with that week that God gave you? Our prayer is that you join us. In Matthew, Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send more workers out into his harvest." There are several ways you can partner with us. If you sign up at friendsofgideon.org, you'll receive a free Gideon prayer calendar, invitations to important events like our Pastor's Appreciation Banquet, Faith Fund rallies, and an e-newsletter which features the latest results from scripture distributions around the world. It also has some current testimonies, and you can purchase testaments like this that are suitable for sharing the gospel with others. You can also download our Gideon Bible app, which has over 2,100 languages and comes with an audiobook feature. You can also give to the Gideons and encourage someone by giving a Gideon's card. Instructions in the card tell you how you can donate using cash, check, or credit card. And each of these Bibles placed in a hotel or motel room has an average cost of $6.50, and yet they have the potential to reach over 2,200 readers during their estimated six-year life. Then the Bibles are repaired and replaced and repaired if necessary, and given new life in a jail. If you don't know Jesus, let me talk to you for just a minute. Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. As I said, there is nothing you have done that God cannot forgive, nor have you waited too long. But if you draw your last breath without placing your faith and trust in Christ, you will have to stand on your own merits, and you will be eternally sentenced to hell forever away from God." I've heard many today said a loving God would not send anyone to hell. He won't, but he's given you a choice. God gives you a free choice of where you decide to spend eternity. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me." He won't force his way in. He is knocking at the door of your heart. There's no matter where you run, you can't outrun God. In Psalm 139, David talks about this. He said, "If I go up to the highest heavens, you are there. If I go to the deepest part of the ocean, you are there." And that goes for those of you that are saved but are running from God. Simply need to turn around. That's exactly what repent means. Turn from your sin. And when you turn around, Jesus is standing there with open arms ready to receive you. No matter what, God is waiting for you to turn around and receive him. If you have not placed your faith and trust in Christ, I would beg you not to leave here until you've done so. Find a deacon or a pastor or come up to one of the Gideons after the service, and any one of us would be happy to pray with you. If you're watching online, you can contact Rock Hill Baptist Church as well, or if you've made that profession, please contact them and let them know for the next steps. For those of you that are saved, we are looking for more laborers for the harvest. There is going to be a special event October 20th to 24th. It's going to be a scripture blitz in the Stafford, Fredericksburg, King George, Spotsylvania, and other areas. Our prayer is that we saturate these areas with Bibles, prayers, and the gospel. And there will be many other opportunities to share Jesus throughout the year. If God can use me, he will use anyone. If you are willing, God will use you and equip you in amazing ways. How many of you think you're making an impact for Christ Jesus? I'd like to challenge the men of this church to join the Gideons and make an impact in your community for Jesus Christ. All the events I've mentioned here, the Fredericksburg Agricultural Fair, the State Fair, the Christmas tree lighting, and many other events will be available for you to participate in this year as well. You can make a difference for Christ. I know that God will use your church to impact your community for Jesus Christ. Please partner with us either in prayer or becoming a Gideon, a friend of a Gideon, donating or giving Bibles so that together we can win more souls for Christ. Today, ask God for one more week. Trust him and see how he provides. Again, if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, please don't delay. If you have any questions about salvation, Friends of Gideons, or the Gideons, Please feel free to talk with us afterwards. I can tell you in just my short time with the Gideons, God continues to use me and prepare me in ways I didn't even expect. As I mentioned earlier, I'm not one for standing up in front of people. And yet today, in a devotional I don't normally read, I get a bunch of different devotions in my email all the time, and I don't have the time to read them all, but this one said, stop capitulating to negative self-talk. And some of the examples it gave, I'm not enough, I can't do this, my experience is insufficient, I am too sinful, and my background is too messy. Those are just a few of the examples. The verse it gave was Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And as I read that, they actually put it in the New Amplified Bible version, which says, I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. So I'm here to testify today that if you make yourself available, and I certainly don't have the ability, God will use you. I would encourage you today. In closing, I would like to share a very short clip about the upcoming Scripture Blitz. My hope is that it encourages you and that you will continue to pray for your community specifically now and during that time frame. Especially during that week of the Blitz, if you are praying now for God to just give me one more week. And I appreciate that song because that's how I felt the week of March 13th that I mentioned. Right? God, just give me one more week. How many out there are lost that we can save? Pray that God would give us all one more week and pray that the lost would come to know him. It has been my honor to speak here today on behalf of the Gideons. I thank you, Pastor Creed and Church, for your attention and for having me. As you take a look at this video again, consider what God can do if you ask him for one more week. Thank you.
The rich history of our city and its surrounding areas are a reminder that the battles of the past have shaped our present, but it's the spiritual battle that will shape our eternal futures. Standing on the grounds where these historical battles were fought, we're reminded that the greatest battle is not for territory or for power, but for the hearts and souls of our community. From the lawn of the Chatham House, overlooking the city from the north, to Mary's Heights, where the same city was defended from the south, we have a poignant reminder of opposing sides, each competing for possession of the city. These streets where soldiers once clashed are now our mission field, and where we can share the gospel and bring eternal hope to those around us. In the spiritual battle for Fredericksburg, Romans 10:1 echoes in our hearts. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer for them is that they may be saved. The cost of this battle will not be measured in lives lost, but in lives transformed by the power of the gospel. Every person we reach, every soul we touch, is a victory in this spiritual battle. As we move forward, let's be fueled by a desire to see our city saturated with the gospel, and let's pray for our neighbors, share the gospel with those who we meet, and trust that God will bring about a great harvest of souls. So please join us in prayer and in presence, October 20th through the 24th, 2025, as we take our place in the spiritual battle for Fredericksburg.